Welcome, great people, to April 25th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And let us begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, as we do every show. So let's all stand up, face our flags, and put our hand over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Cool. Now, moving on to today's program.
I'll talk about the legend of Bolt Castle on Hart Island.
Westmoreland will take command of the MacBee, the Battle of Mark's Mills, and rock band Eagles' Hell will get frozen over. So, with that in mind, let's get started, shall we? All right.
1851. Happy birthday, George Bolt, maker of Bolt Hall on Hart Island in New York. Boy, did he love his wife. Prussian-born George Bolt emigrated to the U.S. as a teenager, worked at a factory in New York, and met his future father-in-law, who hired George to manage the Philadelphia Club. As in, the Philadelphia Club. That one. From there, George became a self-made millionaire, building the Bellevue Stratford in 1904. Now it's the Park Hyatt, but back then it was the largest hotel in the entire city. George also mediated a feud between William Waldorf Astor and John Jacob Astor IV over the two cousins' adjoining hotels, and George merged the two into his own management company. This was called the Waldorf Astor Hotel, where legend has it, Thousand Island dressing was invented in his hotel restaurant. Nowadays, the Empire State Building occupies its space. In the Thousand Island area in New York, at Alexandria Bay, George completely outdid even himself and began building a ginormous six-story castle for his lovely wife, Louise. Key word there, began. As in, he never finished. George, Louise, and the kids would stay in their cottage during the construction and watched in awe as stonemasons, carpenters, and artists designed and built the 120-room castle, complete with a drawbridge, tunnels, a powerhouse, Italian gardens, and altar towers for the kids to play. This is where the story gets really sad. Pretty much every tourist starts crying, so bust out the tissues. In January 1904, Louise died. George ordered all construction on the castle to stop immediately, and he never stepped foot on Hart Island again. As time went on, George moved to Santa Barbara, California, but he returned to New York and died of a heart attack in the Bronx in 1916. There, he is buried in the Woodland Cemetery. As far as the castle he left behind, there it sat near Alexandria Bay for over 70 years. After being subjected by decades of rain, wind, ice, and vandals, the Thousand Island Bridge Authority acquired the property in 1977, and a few million dollars was put in for restoration. So, if you happen to have your yacht sailing on the Alexandria Bay area, stop by and check it out. Happy birthday, George.
Moving up to 1964, and LBJ appoints General William Westmoreland to command the MacVee. President Johnson made the announcement on April 25th, and Westmoreland took his role on June 20th. Westy had come from a long line of military ancestors dating all the way back to the American Revolution. He fought in World War II, as well as the Korean War, and rose up the ranks to a four-star general. When he was appointed commander of the MacVee, or the Military Assistance Command in Vietnam, he fought what basically was a war of attrition. And he was basically counting the dead bodies on the enemy's side as victories. That worked okay at first, but the American people began to get skeptical. As the enemy body count increased, so did the American and South Vietnamese body count. And then came the Tet Offensive, which pretty much ended his command in Vietnam. Viet Cong troops attacked and seized cities and sites, and that's not how you beat the enemy. News coverage from Saigon hit the U.S., and American approval of the war began to wane. Westy requested 200,000 more troops, but Lyndon Johnson told him to come home and serve as chief of staff for the U.S. Army. During Westmoreland's time in Vietnam, the number of troops engaged in the Vietnam War increased from less than 20,000 to about 500,000. Now, in Civil War news, 1864, the Battle of Mark's Mills takes place on April 25th. Moving back for just 1 second, 30 years, John Marks established a flour and sawmill in Cleveland County in South Arkansas in 1834. Now, back to 1864, three battles took place South Central Arkansas as part of the Union's Red River Campaign. And if you really want to get the whole skinny on these, then there are state parks in the area which contain all this information and more. You've got Poison Springs, Jenkins Battleground, Ferry State Parks, and Marks Mills. This is the Red River Campaign here, folks. This campaign was an attempt for the Union Army to get Texas from the Confederates. In 1864, on April 25th, Confederate troops under James F. Fagan overwhelmed a small Union detachment commanded by Lieutenant Colonel Francis M. Drake, leading to the Union abandonment in Cleveland County. Finally, back to music news. 1994, hell is officially frozen over. The Eagles played the first of two shows where they recorded their Hell Freezes Over record. The powerhouse of Don Henley, Glenn Frey, Don Felder, Timothy B. Schmidt, and Joe Walsh, or as he used to call himself, Joe Walsh, got back together again. The new CD included an acoustic rendition of Hotel California, which we've all heard a million times, and the name of the album was taken from Glenn Frey's earlier answer to the question, when will the Eagles get back together?
And so that is all, my friends, for April 25th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Yes, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and I got this cool website you got to check out. It's called joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. Do you think that Ella Fitzgerald is completely underrated, or do you think she's overrated? If you were LBJ, how would you have handled the MACV? Civil War fans, do you have any artifacts you want to share with the group? Eagles fans, what's your favorite Eagles song? When I was much, much younger, I worked for a program director who wanted to take our rock station completely underground and only play deep tracks. So songs like Hotel California, Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, and Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd were completely off limits. We were not allowed to play those songs. Turns out, Uncle Andy Emmert was wrong, and everybody wanted to hear those songs anyway. God rest your soul, Andy. This one's for you. He was a visionary, but his plan just didn't work. So that's my Eagle story. Let's hear what yours is. Leave it at the comment board on the website. So now on tomorrow's program, we'll wish a happy anniversary to Arnold and Maria Schwarzenegger, just out of pure entertainment value alone. Plus, John Wilkes Booth goes down in flames, and baseball news with Lou Gehrig. So until then, be sure to check me out on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.